thank all of you for being here today. I thought we were going to be having a home group meeting for a minute. Yeah, it's a little bigger. Thank goodness. Yeah, so this is the message I was originally going to give last week. For the benefit of those of you who weren't here, I had encouraged Fred to share the message that he gave on at our Shabbat that previous Friday night. It's a powerful message. So if you haven't heard that message, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to it. It's really amazing. And I'm glad he got to share it because there was a good turnout here. And I think all of our Jewish believing members were present that Sunday morning, which doesn't happen all the time either. So it's kind of cool that that was just the way it worked out. So let's pray for Fred, okay? He's in New York. He originally was supposed to return today. I'm not 100% certain if he's sticking with those plans or if he'll be coming back tomorrow. I don't know for sure, but he had a few complications come up at the last minute. I think he was able to work it out, but it may affect his timing for his return. So, Father, we do lift up our brother to you this morning. We ask that you be with Fred. Lord, thank you for your presence with him yesterday, and we ask, Lord, if they're continuing to do the videotaping today, that you'd be with him and Brian as they do that. Lord, bless and protect him on his return trip, be it today or tomorrow, we pray. Be with Kristen and Nicholas in his absence, we ask, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity you've given him, God. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this time that we're in between Easter and Pentecost was a special time for Jesus, was it not? He rose from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. And for how many days did he appear with them? 40 days. And how many days between Passover and Pentecost? 50 days, right. You can remember because of the name, Pentecost. It's 50 days. So 40 of those 50 days, he was with them. And then he asked them to tarry in Jerusalem. And they tarried, and on the day of Pentecost, we know what happened. That was 10 days later. Next Sunday is Pentecost. Yes. So guess what I'm going to be sharing about next Sunday? Boy, you guys are smart. I tell you, we got a sharp group here this morning. Yes. Pentecost. That's right. And ideally, that'll prepare us for our Pentecost festival. Okay? Now, what we've decided to do is to hold the festival the first Sunday in June every year, so that we don't have to keep moving back and forth and people wondering when is it, that kind of thing. But it actually, the date is next Sunday. So this morning, I want us to look at an account that was between those two events, what we typically call the road to Emmaus. And I've titled my message, Facing Life's Disappointments. Anybody here been disappointed? Lots of hands. Those of you who aren't raising your hands, you're either lying or too tired to raise your hand. I just can't remember. That's right. With my students last week, I'd given them back their test. They have one more exam. And one of my students, I'll call him Bob. I love him. He's a verbal processor. So that means he's always talking out. Yeah, constantly. And his parents are from Nigeria. He was born here in America, but he has deep Nigerian roots. I'll call him Bob because I don't want to, in case he's listening to the tape. But so Bob was arguing with me about an answer on the test. And actually, the other students were saying, Bob, look, it's obvious what the answer is. You know, you got it wrong. You know, just give it up. You know, so finally he gave up. He said, Mr. Reinhardt, I really need to do well on this last test. I said, okay, I get it. I said, I'll tell you what, Bob, I'll do this for you. If you get all the questions right on this next exam, if you get all the questions right, I'll give you 100%. He goes, wow, really? Thank you, Mr. Reinhardt. And the other students are all snickering, and then he kind of went, oh. So I had a little bit of disappointment. Dave and I had some disappointment recently. Dave Fritz, we were hoping to plan a trip to Ometepe this summer, and we had not yet even announced it to the church. We hadn't gotten that far in our plans yet. We were just doing all the preliminary work, checking on flights and dates and times. And then Dave's brother, Tom, is in contact with us, and he says there's a revolution going on in Nicaragua. And I don't think it's a good idea for you guys to come. Yeah, although Ometepe's relatively safe, you have to fly into Managua, which is the capital, and that's where most of the stuff is going on. Yeah, so in fact, I read one news report. It was kind of like a tourist thing. It says, it's really not that bad here. You don't have to worry. It says, just be careful. You know, just watch what you're doing. It says, you know, I did drive down this one street and encountered these guys the other day, and they all had weapons and everything, but it was okay. I just drove off, you know, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's fine, you know, really, no problem at all. Just so anyway, so that obviously was a disappointment. Or is a disappointment, I should say. Sometimes disappointments can kind of be reversed, though, right? I mean, any of you remember Roy's Place 2 restaurant? It was over on the other side of Columbia. Yeah, they had a menu of 100 sandwiches, and they were huge, amazingly great sandwiches. And I remember eating there many, many years ago with my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. Linda and I were there with them. And I looked on the menu, and they had this lobster sandwich, lobster. And I thought, wow, that looks good. But I just didn't feel like we could afford it. And I said, I'll get the chicken or whatever. I can't remember what I got, you know. If you remember, it was a real dark restaurant. I mean, not dark in a bad way, but lighting was dark, dim. You know, you didn't have bright lighting. So the food comes, and I bite into my sandwich, and I go, wow, this isn't chicken. This is lobster. And then at the next table, almost simultaneously, I hear somebody go, hey, I didn't order this. I ordered lobster. Yeah, so that's right. The Lord bless me. So that was a lot of fun. And it was very good, too. Yeah. Well, these guys on the road to Emmaus, they definitely were disappointed. We're going to look at this account. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, we're actually going to read the whole account, but I want to begin with just the opening verses and make a few comments, and then we'll read on. the scripture reads, now that same day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to walk with them. Now, some translations, in fact, the Passion translates it this way, and I'm going to read the rest of the passage from the Passion. Some say it was 17 miles was the distance. Yeah, I would like to suggest that it was 7. And for a number of reasons. First of all, I Googled it on Google Maps, and to walk 7 miles would take 3 hours, what's that say, 42 minutes? 3 hours, 42 minutes, yeah, to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, we're going to read the account, but most of you are familiar with it. At the end, they invite Jesus to stay. They said it's getting dark. Now, most people in those days didn't travel in the middle of the day because it was what? Too hot. And they didn't travel in the middle of the night because too dangerous. So they probably left late enough in the afternoon that they could get to their destination before dark, but yet early enough that they could get there before dark, but late enough that they could avoid the heat as much as possible. So I'm guessing they left about 3 o'clock, okay? And I double-checked this morning. Sunset at this time of year in Jerusalem is 7:28, okay? So I'm guessing it's about 7 o'clock when they get close to Emmaus, all right? And so that makes sense to me that it was about 7 miles. Now, 7 miles, how many of you have been walking 7 miles every day, huh? Anybody walks? I mean, just when you know, you're going to go somewhere, oh, it's 7 miles, okay, I'll see you there, I'll be there in a few hours, you know, you just walk 7 miles. I mean, nobody does that, do we? I mean, not in our country, you know, in some parts of the world they do. Yeah, walk around the mall, yeah, you can walk for exercise, but nobody... Everybody jumps in their car and drives there, which obviously driving there, what, it's 23 minutes? Is that what it says? 23 minutes if you drive your car there. So I'm of the camp, of the school. If I write a commentary one day, I will say it was 7 miles, okay? Just for what that's worth. But let's look at the rest of the story. And Alex is going to help me here. He's going to scroll through the slides as I read it from my Bible, which is the Passion Translation. Jesus said to them, "You seem to be in a deep discussion about something. What are you talking about so sad and gloomy?" They stopped, and the one named Cleopas answered, "Haven't you heard? Are you the only one in Jerusalem unaware of the things that have happened over the last few days?" Jesus asked, I love this, "What things?" I mean, oh my gosh, this just hit me. This is Jesus. "What things? What happened?" Oh my gosh. Woo. Oh. Woo. Wow. Yeah. What things? And then, oh my gosh, these are guys that are like my student Bob. "The things about Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they replied. "He was a mighty prophet of God who performed miracles and wonders. His words were powerful, and he had great favor with God and the people. But 3 days ago, the high priest and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had him crucified. We all hoped he was the one who would redeem and rescue Israel." We didn't go forward there? What happened? Oh, there we go. There we go. Got to keep it moving there, Alex. Thank you. We hope that he was... Okay, do we need to go back here? Yeah, okay. But 3 days ago, the high priest and the rulers of the people sentenced him to death and had him crucified. We all hoped that he was the one who would redeem and rescue Israel. Early this morning, some of the women informed us of something amazing. They said they went to the tomb and found it empty. They claimed two angels appeared and told them that Jesus is now alive. Some of us went to see for ourselves and found the tomb exactly like the woman said. But no one has seen him. That's great. I just wish I could be there with Jesus. I just can imagine what he must have been thinking. So he said to them, "Why are you so thick-headed?" Boy, "why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? Wasn't it necessary for Christ, the Messiah, to experience all these sufferings and then afterward to enter into his glory?" And then he carefully unveiled to them the revelation of himself through the scripture. He started from the beginning and explained the writings of Moses and all the prophets, showing how they wrote of him and revealed the truth about himself. As they approached the village, Jesus walked on ahead, telling them he was going on to a distant place. They urged him to remain there and pleaded, "Stay with us. It will be dark soon." So Jesus went with them into the village. Joining them at the table for supper, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. All at once, their eyes were opened and they realized it was Jesus. And then suddenly in a flash, he vanished before their eyes. Stunned, they looked at each other and said, "Why didn't we recognize it was him? Didn't our hearts burn with the flames of holy passion while we were walked beside him? He unveiled for us such profound revelation from the scriptures." They left at once and hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. When they found the 11 and the other disciples all together, they overheard them saying, "It's really true. The Lord has risen from the dead. He has appeared even to Peter." And then the two disciples told the others what has happened to them, what happened to them on the road to Emmaus, and how Jesus had unveiled himself as he broke bread with them. Amazing story, isn't it? Amazing story. there's my message. Okay. So how often do we find ourselves disappointed? Disappointment is a feeling of sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. It has been said the best way to avoid disappointment is not to expect anything from anyone. Is that good advice? I don't think so. No. I mean, do you want to take the passion out of your life? If you just don't expect anything from anyone, yeah, you might not be disappointed, but you also won't be expectant. God wants us to be expectant. He wants us to be passionate about this life. And that passion will sometimes lead us to disappointment. Even as these men walking along the road to Emmaus were suffering from disappointment. But you know something? I love this quote from Max Lucado. Clouds of doubt are created when the warm, moist air of our expectations meet the cold air of God's silence. The problem is not as much in God's silence as it is in our ability to hear. Yeah, in our ability to hear, you see. And the problem with disappointment, it's not wrong to suffer it. Don't misunderstand me there. But the problem is, if we don't deal with it, is that disappointment can lead to discouragement. And discouragement can lead to disillusionment. And disillusionment can lead to outright depression. The message that Fred delivered a few weeks ago on Judas was amazing. And this is what happened to Judas. He started by being disappointed that Jesus wasn't the one that was going to defeat the Romans and throw off the yoke that Israel had been carrying, and that he was going to reign as their new king and ruler. Then he became discouraged, and then that discouragement led to disillusionment, and that disillusionment caused him to betray Jesus. And after that betrayal, he became depressed. So depressed that he hanged himself, didn't he? Yeah. See, so we want to nip disappointment in the bud, if I can say it that way. And part of it is believing what God has told us. You know, Jesus, as he's unfolding the disciples, he said, gosh, you guys are thick-headed. Don't you believe? Didn't you believe the scriptures? He says, why do you find it so hard to believe every word the prophets have spoken? So it begins with faith, believing that God is in control, believing that God is good, and believing that God's ultimate purposes will be fulfilled in your life and my life. Yes? Yes. And so we have to dispel the clouds of doubt. Doubt sees obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the light of day. Doubt dreads to take a step, and faith soars on high. Amen. So how do we deal with genuine disappointments? I'm just not talking about you go to the, it's a hot summer day, and you say, boy, I'd love some ice cream. And you go to the ice cream stand, and you say, boy, strawberry ice cream would taste so good to me. And they say, sorry, we're out of strawberry ice cream. Hey, you're a little disappointed, right? But we can live with that one, yeah? Yeah, I'm talking about large, major disappointments, okay? Disappointments that can knock us off our horse. Those kinds of things. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I love what he said. He said, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Yes, we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. Now, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of God. But when we talk about disappointment, everybody in the world faces disappointment, yes? It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what race, what culture, what nationality. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, I have the second class I teach at Chapel Gate has 14 students. I only have two white students. I have two African Americans. I have one, this young man that I mentioned that's born here in America but Nigerian parents. I have one who's born here as Chinese parents. I have seven Chinese students from China, and one student whose his mother's African American, his father's white. It's quite a class. And so we're talking about counseling the other day, therapy, different kinds of counseling. And so I demonstrated to them the type of counseling I do. We did a little session, asked for a volunteer in both of my classes. And in the second class, this young man, he's from China, amazing young man, knows the Lord. He's just an incredible, incredible young man. I'm so blessed to have him in my class. So he volunteered. So we sit down and we begin to talk. I said, you know, we had just general conversation, and then we began to get to the issue. What's the problem? And he said, I really want to be close to my dad, and I'm not. I said, well, you know, is it because you're living here? He says, no, when we lived together in China, we were never close. He said, my dad travels a lot with his business. He's in Georgia, Russia. He's in Abu Dhabi. He's all around the world, and he doesn't really make a lot of time for me. Boy, could you hear that guy's heart pain, you know? The disappointment he was feeling, you know? So disappointment has no boundaries with, this is a young man, 15 years old, has no boundaries with age, with race, male, female. It doesn't make a difference. It's felt all over the world culturally, yeah. And I won't share with you the whole story, but we talked about it. It was a good time, actually. It was pretty neat. I think I was able to give him some ideas to work with. But so what do we do? How do we deal with genuine disappointment? And the point I want to make, I'm sorry, I missed in light of Dr. Martin Luther King's words, is that people in the world who don't yet know Jesus, they feel the same disappointment we can feel, but they don't have the hope. See, that's the difference. We have a hope. And I don't say that critically or judgmentally. Please, I hope you don't hear that. If anything, I say it compassionately, with a heart of compassion and love, because I want people to come to faith so they can have that hope, the hope that we share, so they can know that we don't live a hopeless existence on this planet that we call Earth. And so dealing with genuine grief, well, the first is acceptance. Okay, we need to just accept the fact, yes, I am disappointed. This did not turn out the way I thought. That person let me down. This thing did not work out the way I planned for it to work out. Whatever it might be, you accept it. There's nothing wrong with feeling disappointed. But then the second thing is to share your pain with God. You know, to just bear your heart to Him. He's a father. He wants to hear the deepest longings, concerns, and pain in your heart. Just open it to Him. Say, Father, you know, I'm really disappointed. I really thought things were going to work out differently. And just share with Him. And I don't want to deny the value and importance of sharing with brothers and sisters for prayer and support. Please don't misunderstand me. That's also important. But if you share with your brothers and sisters and don't share with the Father, you're missing something. See? So you need to make time with God and just bear your heart to Him. However it works for you. I personally am one of those people that journals. So I'm writing down my thoughts like that, you know. And one day when I leave this world, my kids are going to get all these journals, this whole box full of them, and they're going to, you know, I hope they treasure them. I don't know. It'll be an interesting journey for them, that's for sure. But, yeah, so share your pain with God. And then worship and pray, gaining a new perspective. What did Jesus give those two men on the road to Emmaus? He gave them a new perspective, didn't he? He showed them things that they were like, whoa, weren't our hearts burning within us? And that's what happens when we get together with God and get together with His Word and dwell on His promises, on the hope that He gives us. As we begin to allow that to wash over our soul, then all of a sudden we're rejuvenated and that disappointment is replaced with hope. And we go, yeah, I was disappointed about this, but I believe that God's got something better for me or something different. Whatever it is, I just walk in your plan and your purpose, Father. And we gain that perspective from being in His presence. And then lastly, continue to walk upon the pathway of faith. Continue to walk with the Lord, step by step. Okay, that disappointed me. That didn't go the way I thought. That person disappointed me. I'm moving on. I'm not going to dwell there. I'm not going to allow that disappointment to move to disillusionment, and that disillusionment to move to discouragement, and that discouragement to cause me to be depressed. I choose not to do that. I choose to walk the path of faith and hope, believing that although I was disappointed, God has something for me. Yes? Amen. The other thing that'll happen, not always, but sometimes it happens, is that we are surprised. There's a suddenness of God. Jesus suddenly appeared on the pathway, didn't he? He just came out of nowhere. They're walking along and all of a sudden, I mean, this isn't like, you know, there's a million people on this road and he just happens to join them. I mean, as far as we know, they're the only these two guys right now. And they're walking along, and all of a sudden, there's a third person. It's like, where'd you come from? Yeah, what, you know? And he's starting to walk with them, right? And all of a sudden, and he's talking with them. Well, Jesus will surprise us with that kind of suddenness. He will grant us that sudden appearance that totally blows us away. And I love it. I don't know about you. Do you love that? I love it when he gives that suddenness. I just had a sudden experience I want to share with you. A few weeks ago, I'm on Facebook. I didn't want to go on Facebook. I went in kicking and screaming. I think I've told you this story many years ago. I went on to it. It was shortly after I got on. Somebody tried to be my friend. Didn't recognize the name. The picture was of a bulldog. I don't know this person, you know. And even though today, you know, you have to be really careful. Back then, you still had to be careful, but not as much as today. But even then, I knew I don't want to just friend somebody, you know. So I'm like, who are you? So, oh, Mr. Reinhardt, I'm sorry. You probably you certainly don't know the name, and I don't, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I was one of your students back at Covenant Community School. I was in the 9th grade. Do you remember me? Brian Gish. And I said, yeah, Brian, I remember you. He says, for security reasons, I can't put my name or any pictures on Facebook. I'm with the Navy. I'm leaving for another assignment soon. I said, whoa. I said, is your boss Admiral Eric Olson? He goes, yes, sir, it is. He's a Navy SEAL. I went, whoa, I'm hooked. I'm on Facebook. Okay, who's next? You know, so that got me hooked. So anyway, on this journey, I'm in some groups, as some of you may be, and one of the groups is the Jewish. I grew up belonging to the Jewish Community Center. Yeah, isn't that amazing? And so I had a lot of Jewish friends growing up, and so somebody posted a picture of a basketball team that had won a national championship in the Jewish Community Center in 1968, and I didn't even remember that. But a lot of the guys on the team I knew, some of them I've kept in touch with. But one of the guys, his name is Kenny Hummel, and I actually didn't even know he was still alive. He graduated a year ahead of me, actually ended up going to a different high school. But we'd been childhood friends. Okay, and this is a long story, but bear with me. You'll see why I'm telling it. We'd been childhood friends, and recently I had an occasion to put my a yearbook out that I had when I was in junior high school, because it had a picture of a great basketball player named Wes Unseld. Anybody remember Wes Unseld? Yeah, well, he played. He at our high school led him to 2 state basketball championships. And we had a guest. It was Jamie Johnson's son. His youngest son, Joey, is a huge basketball fan and knows all these dates and players. And so I put the book out for him, and he was so excited. You know, there's Wes Unseld's picture and his autograph in the book and everything else. And he's like, wow, wow. So the book's still out, and Linda starts looking through it, and she's like, look at all these things people wrote about you, Randy. And they're very embarrassing. So anyway, you can imagine, I'm in the 7th grade. You know how 7th graders write about each other. But then there's this one comment by this person who's in the 8th grade. Dear Randy, our friendship has to be one of the best. Let's see if I can read it here. It's a little light. Has to be one of the longest, if not the best, I've ever had. We've gone together through every phase of life. He's in the 8th grade. I'm in the 7th grade. We've gone together through every phase of life together, and seem to like doing it. We're like in many respects, and that's what makes us so close. Remember our years at Seneca High School and the fun we had together in boyhood, childhood, and manhood? Your lifelong friend, Kenny. So this is the guy, okay, in the basketball picture on Facebook, right? He's writing this in the 8th grade to me. I can't believe he wrote that as an 8th grader. To me, as a 7th grader, okay? And I didn't see him a lot in high school because he went to a different high school, so we had some interaction, but not a whole lot. But Kenny was Jewish. And I can still remember, you know, Lynn and I were talking about this the other day. It's amazing how your mind remembers some things and other things you just totally forget. So I can still remember being in his home for Hanukkah and his mom lighting the Hanukkiah and saying the Jewish prayers. I can remember that as though it happened yesterday. I don't know why or how or what, but I can still remember that. So I thought, okay, gosh, what? I haven't seen Kenny Hummel in 50 years. What's Kenny Hummel doing? I go to his Facebook page. I see all this stuff on Messianic Judaism. So I messaged him. I said, Kenny, would you mind giving me your email address? I didn't want to put something on Facebook. So I wrote him. I said, Kenny, what's all this about? He has been a believer in Yeshua almost as long as I have. Met the Lord in Southern California, is part of a Messianic congregation in Richmond. He's their cantor and one of the elders in the congregation. I'm like, whoa, thank you, Lord, for the surprises. I love surprises. This is amazing, amazing. And all these years in between, no clue. Neither one of us had a clue. We totally lost touch with one another. 50 years, and he knows Yeshua. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love surprises. And the Lord loves to come along and surprise us. He loves to do that. The suddenness of God. God's suddenness does not always come when we expect it. Think of the guys on the road to Emmaus. God's suddenness does not always come how we expect it. God's suddenness doesn't always come where we expect it. However, when God's suddenness does come, we know that it is God. And it energizes us with a holy unction and a divine motivation. Yeah. Amen. Well, wouldn't you love to have been there with those two disciples and Jesus on the road to Emmaus? Yeah. Well, I'm going to take us there. I actually found a video of it. And let me just give a little word before we show it. Jesus appears with blonde hair. And that's going to put us off a little bit. That's going to put you off, okay? But remember, they didn't recognize him. Okay? Now stick with the video to the end because you're going to have a really cool surprise, okay?
Slow down. Slow down, we're far enough from Jerusalem. We're just two pilgrims on the road. And if anyone asks, we were in Jerusalem for Passover. We heard of this Jesus, we saw him preaching in the temple, but
we never saw him.
Well, Galilean, so... Maybe we heard him preach. We heard he was from Galilee.
Who's that you're talking about?
Jesus of Nazareth.
What about him?
He was some sort of teacher. Some pilgrims thought he was the leader come to free us.
So they said to us.
He was condemned and handed over to the Romans.
So?
He was crucified. And now they said he's come back to life.
You don't believe the scriptures?
Why do you say this?
Isaiah wrote that the Son of God will come to earth. He'll know human death at the hands of men. Surely Jesus told you these things would happen.
I heard such things.
You're slow to believe.
My brother's house is this way. Won't you stop with us for some food? Come. Come and eat with us.
What are you doing? This is the bread of life. This is my body, given up for you. This is my blood, poured out for the healing of others.
I tell you, he is risen. He appeared to us. He broke bread with us.
Yeah, amen. Isn't that good? Wow. So what is your road to Emmaus? Are you on a road to Emmaus now? Is there some disappointment in your life that you've been feeling and carrying? Is there some way in which you need to have that sudden appearance from Jesus? He wants to bring it. He wants to bring it to you this morning. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray with us, and then I'm going to invite Tamara to come up. She's going to do it from there, the Aaronic benediction. But yeah, just think a minute. Is there something in your life, and you don't need to search through the file cabinets and vaults of your mind, but if there's something that's sitting there on the forefront of your thinking that you know you're harboring is disappointment, let's just open it to the Lord right now and just allow him to minister to you and follow these steps, if you would, in the days ahead and get with the Lord and get with his word and worship and prayer and begin to allow him to reveal to you the bigger picture. Yeah, Father, thank you. Thank you that life is full of disappointments. We'll face them our entire journey on this earth. But Lord, thank you that you have overcome the world. And thank you that our hope and our trust, our faith is in you. And that God, by placing our hope in you, we can overcome any and every disappointment that we face this side of heaven. God, I ask on behalf of my brothers and sisters that if anyone is carrying something in his or her heart that is a disappointment, Lord, that you would minister to him or her right here, right now. Just come, Holy Spirit, come. Just come. Your presence is with us. We thank you for that presence. We welcome you in our midst. And just minister to that person, Lord. Whatever the source might be work-related, might be family-related, might be health-related, might be something that he or she's never hasn't shared with anyone else at this point. Whatever it could be, Lord, just minister, God, I pray. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, help us all to abide in your grace. Each hour of every day, each day of every week of every month, each month of every year, year by year, abiding in your abundant, beautiful, glorious, and blessed grace. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.